Welcome to our special edition of Irish Illustrated Insider, the Blue Gold Game Edition. Today we will discuss both the offense and the defense as they were broken up as such in today's 95th annual Blue Gold Game. In separate segments, I'm joined by Tim Priester and Drew Mentock of IrishIllustrated.com. Marcus Freeman got what he wanted, a competitive game that finished on a field goal. A little bit of manufactured scoring to make that happen over the 12 segments. There was no running clock today, guys, but I think the goal for Marcus Freeman offensively and the goal for Mike Debrock offensively was to test what they're going to do as the season progresses. They are a team that is going to stress the defense going downfield, but as Debrock said, in order to do that, you have to maintain possession of the football.
Isn't it amazing how Marcus Freeman can manipulate the score to come down to the final kick?
I saw points falling off the scoreboard.
Spencer Porath comes through again with a 43-yarder, this time after a 40-yarder last week. But C.J. Carr a little bit off today, a little bit surprising out of the gate. I thought the other two quarterbacks represented themselves pretty well. Blake Hebert needed a strong performance after he sat out last week with a tweaked knee, and he did some good things. Some other guys, Devin Fitzgerald, continues to step up on the offensive side of the ball, and Jaden Sanders filling in for Leonard Moore does a pretty good job at cornerback as well.
And taking into Jaden Sanders on the defense, at one point we're going to talk, you know, we thought Leonard Moore and Micah Gilbert in their witness protection program, but Micah Gilbert had, what, 6 targets today?
Yes.
Early in the half, Jaden Sanders did a heck of a job on it.
Yeah, actually, they weren't tipped Micah Gilbert early and often, which I guess is like, hey,
we're
never going to really test
all
this.
Fans remaining in the stadium are Gilbert asked to make their
early
way to the exits at this time.
On a deep route.
Gates will be closing in 85
to him, and I think on first glance, it looks like Gilbert maybe dropped it, but it looks like it was just a good play by Sanders to break that up. But I think that's, again, a little surprising to see CJ Carr underthrow a deep ball like that. So I agree, he's a little off after that play, and he also had that one over the middle to Graham that I think if he puts him in a better position to be protected, which I think is the type of thing Carr usually does on over the middle throws, instead he kind of left him out to dry twice, which led to one drop. So little things like that you're not used to seeing out of CJ Carr, but maybe that's the best thing for the going into the summer and off season, that he has something in front of fans that he knows he needs to work on. It's only going to motivate him further.
Good day for the young receivers, Tim. Stick with the offense. You had a couple freshmen scoring a touchdown, a redshirt freshman scored a touchdown, a redshirt sophomore making a big play. I think that's exactly what you want if you're Coach Debrock. It's not going to be a big day for the likes of Jordan Faison.
Yeah, really nice job by him. A tremendous pass by Blake Hebert. Really threw 3 sets of flailing arms to Elijah Burris at the back of the end zone. Elijah Burris really needed that, I think, to finish up the spring. He had a drop last week, and so that was important. And Cam Williams finishes strong. He didn't necessarily have a great jersey scrimmage, but had the big 53-yarder early in this scrimmage. So, yeah, you know, you wanted to see some of the young receivers step forward. Some of that Bubba Frazier, I think we wanted to see him get a chance to step forward a little bit, didn't get the opportunity. But Devin Fitzgerald, I don't care how many guys are at boundary, you can move a guy around. If a guy can make plays, you're going to find a way to get him on the field. And Cam Williams keeps fighting. I still think he's got a lot of people to get through in order to get on the field in games in the fall. But we can clearly say that the first time or in 3 sets of spring practices, this was his best spring.
And that's what he will bring to the offense if he is part of the offense, is a 53-yard deep shot, because he was wide open. That was a touchdown. He was underthrown on that. And also a touchdown. Devin Fitzgerald, I know it's against 2s and 3s, and it was again today, but he always scores and always does something against the 2s and 3s. Drew Mentock, eventually this is going to be against the 1s and 2s, and then it might be on Saturdays.
I agree, because it's like you're like, we want to see him almost be challenged more, and he does it in a variety of different ways. He gets deep. He catches it short in the flat, and he runs for an extra 5 or 6 yards. Yeah. So he's doing all these different little things that are, I think, more than just a guy with good hands, which is what we initially thought when he first committed. He's showing he can do a little bit of everything at some breakaway speed. So I agree. It's a guy that you're going to want to see more from.
Basically a 0 day for Nolan James. He had an early carry. That was it. They got him out. Aeneas Williams led the team in rushing. He was also not allowed to be tackled, much to his chagrin. But the good news is he was not wearing the red jersey. So it was heavy thud on Aeneas Williams. He is just a versatile guy, and that's something I think that is going to be a bedrock of this offense, because it's going to be mostly a 1-2 punch, I think, at running back with room for a third.
Yeah, 10 carries, 38 yards. Again, they're in thud situation.
He said there would have been more yards.
There's no doubt. Well, there's no doubt about that. Yeah, they blow the whistle early, and that's what they should have done. It's good to see. He was just itching to get out of that red jersey, and so I'm glad they did that. You just want to be careful and make sure that nobody put him in harm's way. But he handled it well, caught a couple passes. I think we can see what Aeneas Williams can do even when it's not fully live. He is going to be a tackle breaker. So is Nolan James. I don't know, was James banged up or were they just being cautious?
Probably being cautious.
Yeah, but and Jonas Walton continues to run hard between the tackles. That was a criticism, I think, that some of us had of him coming out of high school and wanted to kick things outside. Good things happen when Jonas Walton runs between the tackles. If he can break it wide, he's capable of doing that too.
No long runs today from anyone. Aeneas Williams might have had one. You and I were talking about that. But Jonas Walton got his touchdown. He was everybody's pick for Blue Gold Game MVP. I don't think that actually came to fruition. But he basically matched Aeneas Williams in yards. But it just wasn't a lot of big plays offensively from the running game.
Right, and I agree. I think maybe even Williams' biggest play, where they split him out wide to the field, and Jalen Snead was in coverage, and they gave Jalen Snead a kind of a tackle because he just touched him. But I think in a game, that's probably a touchdown, and that's, I think, what Aeneas Williams really is going to bring to this offense, too, is that if you put him out wide and you do get – I mean, Jalen Snead maybe isn't the best in coverage. He's definitely athletic. But if you put him on the linebacker, he's the type of guy who has the ability to really get big yards. And I think, again, that there are a couple of times where I think maybe – the whistle helped him, but I think that was one time it definitely hurt him.
Two pieces of offensive line news. One, right tackle Kirby Lambert didn't play. We found out later, kind of unofficially, that Kirby Lambert tweaked his ankle, so that's why he was out. You got to see Matty Augustine in there and Tim Priester. That is actually the news.
Hey, I have your attention, Mike Demarest,
about Matty Augustine.
All unauthorized personnel are being
guy. We've said this in podcast before. He's probably a backup at four of the five spots at, the two guards and two tackles. So that was a good opportunity for him. We know what Kirby Lambert can do. He needs all the reps that he can get at right tackle, but I'm sure he got a ton this spring. So that actually worked out pretty well.
Interesting, because the question posed to Dembrock about Matty Augustine was, can he be your next man in? And Mike Dembrock stopped short of that and said he has had a great spring. He put himself in position to fight to be one of our five men in. I will tell you what, I might not predict that he will start at right guard or something, or a situation like that, or right tackle with Lambert moving back to right guard, but there has not been a Joe Rudolph moment yet in the spring that has gone according to our predictions, because he will just search for the right combination. Matty Augustine, it sounds like, I know you could just be polite, but offensive coordinator speak, it sounds like he has a chance to keep fighting for that spot.
I agree, and you even saw, Chris Tarek, I think, had struggled with some plays. I think Sean Solano beat him for a tackle for no game two, and that's a guy who is a, third teamer for the most part, too. So I think there isn't, maybe some of it a little bit is, too, is that no other backup guards have really stepped up there with the injuries they have to some of the guys, too. So I think that helps him, too. But I agree, right now, I think Matty Augustine is their backup at four of the five spots.
I do think the offense actually won and also technically won, even though it was manufactured. It was funny at one point. You leaned over to me. It was 11-11. First of all, 11-11. And you said, they're winning? What's going? It was 40-11. All of a sudden, they let 38 points. But I think the offense did win today. Tim, your overview of the offense before we move on to part two.
Yeah, I think they strung together three of the four last touchdowns in the final eight periods. We didn't see C.J. Carr. There were 12 series.
Yep.
We didn't see him in the last five series of the two young guys. Yeah, and I think it was good to see the two young quarterbacks move the football. It's great for Hebert to have a little bit of success. Noah Grubbs had more success last week than he did this week. But, plenty of guys out there were getting opportunities. And like we said, these freshmen and the young receivers in general had an opportunity to shine.
The Blue won by a made-up score, but it ended up being 41-40 Blue with Spencer Porath being the hero. That is it for part one of our Irish Illustrated Instant Analysis focusing on the offense. We'll be back with part two as well. Part two defensively. Drew, you mentioned prior to this that eight defensive backs broke up passes, led by Jaden Sanders, who late fill in for Leonard Moore on the boundary, and he's a guy that's been playing nickel all spring.
Right, yeah. That's when we went to the last few practices, that's where he's been primarily working. So to have him kind of step in to that boundary position, he's a big guy, he's physical, but he still doesn't know the defense that well. And Chris Ash praised him after for coming in after transferring to Michigan and kind of learning multiple spots. And he went against Micah Gilbert and some other receivers in the boundary most of the day. He had two pass breakups, was competitive. I think he looked good, and I'm not sure how much he's necessarily going to play, especially with Leonard Moore. Kari Adams will come back from injury, presumably in fall camp, but it shows that he's another piece that Notre Dame will be able to count on in the future.
Jaden Sanders is a good football player. I don't know how much he's going to play.
I don't know how much he's going to play
this year, but he's got a good future at Notre Dame. I don't think there's any doubt about that. He went to Michigan
last year. We've mentioned this a couple times. He was like the seventh or eighth corner in camp. And by the end of the first month, he started a couple games. So he's a good football player. It's crowded back there. It might be the best secondary in the country. And it's nice to have that depth. If you have to turn to Jaden Sanders, I think he's a guy that'll be ready.
Speaking of depth, Ethan Long, he might be the Devin Fitzgerald of this defense. It doesn't matter if he's going against first, second, or third string. He just makes plays. And Ethan Long made an interception today that kind of set up the game-winning field goal. But it was another good showing by Ethan Long, who also is not likely going to be a starter, but he had a good day today.
Yeah, Ethan Long's a good football player. And I know there's always a natural tendency that you gravitate toward the new players or their early entry guys, especially when there's five stars attached to a name like Joey O'Brien, and Joey O'Brien is going to be a good football player too, but so is Ethan Long. And you know, I mean, you look at the top three, the top three safeties with Shuler and Johnson and Telich, all three of those guys could be gone next year theoretically. And so Ethan Long has to get ready to play. Joey O'Brien's going to have to get ready to play probably pretty soon too, but they got some guys back there who can really play football.
The secondary did give up three touchdowns, passing touchdowns. We should point that out. And also, crucial, you mentioned you saw Joey O'Brien walked off on crutches today.
Right, yeah. At the end of the game, he kind of left the teammates early and was walking off, I assume, with a trainer in crutches. So it's unclear exactly what happened to him, but he was moving on his own with those crutches. So definitely update you everyone once we get more information on that. But obviously, hopefully, that's something that he has time over the summer to get back from. And as long as it's not something broken, he should be back.
Insanely heavy rotation defensively. So Blue Gold Game defensive MVP Jalen Snead had four tackles. And he also had an interception that was twice deflected. Once kind of it was a drop by Ty Washington, deflected off Ethan Long, and Snead reeled it in. But it's been a good spring for Snead. He and Jaden Osberry, and I asked Chris Ash about that. They're just in new spot. They were challenged because there was no KVA. Madden Framo just got back to being full go, and Drake Bowen was limited.
Yeah, it's going to be a great situation at linebacker. We didn't see Bowen all spring, or I guess we saw him in the jersey scrimmage.
He was basically thud in the jersey scrimmage.
Yeah, no, exactly. And so that's a really good unit. I want to talk about the defensive line because I think the depth is really developing there. I asked you, is Armel Mukum a legit player? Because this is something we've kicked around for the last couple of years. Look, you don't need him to take 35 snaps a game. No. You need him to take 10. And in each of the last two weekends, he has been a starter at defensive tackle. Did some good things again today, a couple tackles, including a sack.
And he also put himself in position for he's a guy for us to watch in August camp. All of a sudden, come August camp, is Armel Mukum still rotating in when we're in there? And you know what? In game number one, if Armel Mukum plays in the first half, they like him. If Armel Mukum plays because they're up by 21, they don't like him as much. A guy that also had a good day today. I don't really know anything about him about the spring, except he is in the first string goal line defense that we saw in the jersey scrimmage. Sean Sevillano was productive today. It was mostly against the twos and the threes.
Yeah, he does make plays. He shed a pretty good block from, or that was somebody else. Davian Dixon actually shed the block from Chris Tarek. But yeah, he's making plays. He's getting in the backfield. He's very quick for as big as he is. I know they complain about his weight almost a little bit, tell him to get down. But he does move really well, whether he's 320 or 340. He's a guy who shows a lot of explosiveness, and we'll see if that gets him on the field.
Rodney Dunham flashed early. Keon Keeley. You mentioned Keon Keeley was a guy we wanted to talk about because he didn't need a big spring. He could have had 13 good practices. We just weren't at those practices. But from our point of view, Keon Keeley needed a flash.
Well, I wanted to make a point of saying that he did some good things today. Him and Dunham combined on a sack, and they were both very active. Both a handful today, at least when I was zeroing in on them. Rodney Dunham has been that pretty much all spring. I didn't see that from Keeley last week, but definitely this week. And that's significant because when you look at this team, they're good in so many areas, and they're deep in so many areas. But not really a defensive end if some of those young guys and or Keeley, you know, don't step up. So to see them, those two guys, Ebenezer Iwatadi again, I showed
pass deflection.
So there's some good young talent there, and they need that because behind Bryce Young and Boubacar Traore, we're just not really certain yet.
And actually, I believe Iwatadi's pass deflection came on a reverse flea flicker that was about to be a pass far downfield.
Yeah, Hebert got the ball back, and he was getting ready to fire it. And at first, it looked like it was just a terrible pass. But yeah, Iwatadi did get his hand on it. And I mean, he's a guy who looks the part. I don't think he's as far along as Dunham is, who just keeps making plays. It's kind of, I mean, every time we see him, maybe he's only had three or four great practices, but every time we see him, he's doing things like we saw today where he's making tackles in the backfield, getting a sack, things like that. So it'll be really interesting to see as he progress is if he gets any teams against the reps against the first team offense and stuff, because he does make plays when he's out there.
Post game, we spoke with Sneed and also defensive coordinator Chris Ash. I thought it was interesting. Ash kind of echoed what Mike Denbrock said. We also spoke with Denbrock. Marcus Freeman did not come out today because they had the two coordinators. Ash echoed what Denbrock said, is like, all right, these guys have had good springs. The young players have had good springs. That was the first part of the install. Now we're going to give them the second part of the install, and they're going to have to learn the rest of the defense. And that is going to be difficult for the young players going into August camp. Whoever can hit the ground running gets a chance to play. Chris Ash's defense can be very complicated.
Well, we're yes, and he will advance past, you know, the 100 level classes, yeah, if he has an opportunity to. And this is a good opportunity. You've got 8 or 9 starters back on defense. You got the good young talent coming up, and that's exactly what Chris Ash will do to take it to another level.
The blue one, the offense one, Spencer Porath won. Marcus Freeman won because he got exactly what he wanted in the 95th annual Blue Gold game. Game-winning field goal from Spencer Porath. For Tim Priester and Drew Bentock, I'm Tim O'Malley. Thanks for watching Irish Illustrated Instant Analysis.